This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. Now we turn to the linguistic battleground.
And it appears this vet's battle to keep his flags is close to being won.
First to another book battle in the Park Cities.
Challenging Republican John Cornyn knows he has an uphill battle.
El Paso became one of the battlegrounds in the gathering war over gay marriage.
Years of Ebola are erupting into a battle over civil rights versus public safety.
The topic for this week's Friday Conversation, the militarization of language. Mark Memmott, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Glad to be here.
As we heard there, it really does feel like we're in the middle of a war of words these days.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that one. We use battle, war, all sorts of militarized language to describe all sorts of things, especially in the world of politics. We seem to always be fighting between one side and the other, and the only cliches we can come up with seem to be war-related.
What do you think it is about politics that makes that happen so much?
Well, a lot of news organizations seem to only be able to tell the story if they put it in very simple terms. And the simplest terms sometimes are that there's one side that wants A, the other side that wants B, and they're fighting over it, and they could never come to some sort of a truce, to use another term, and settle on anything. There's no compromise in there. So it's a simple way to tell a story. It can be a very effective and compelling way to tell a story, but it also can be very repetitive, and listeners, readers, they can get pretty tired of that language.
Do you think it's just a media thing?
I think it's wider than that. I think as a culture, we sort of come to be used to that language. We're certainly used to it when it comes to sports. We're very comfortable, if you will, but I have to think that there's a case to be made that, you know, we cheapen the real wars, you know, and the people who have put their lives on the line for this country or for other countries, when we use that language just so routinely, we don't even think about it.
How worried are you about this surge in militaristic language?
Well, it concerns me. Number one, I just worry that we're turning off some of the audience. But also, I mean, our job, the media's job, is to be clear, to be factual. We don't want to be boring, but we also want to present things in context. And often when we reach for the easy cliche, we're not giving the context. We're not telling the full story. And I happen to believe that an informed electorate is a good thing, and that part of our job is to inform.
I wonder if there's any upside here. We heard a clip from a KERA report about the book battles in Highland Park. Doesn't that kind of language make a story like that one kind of come alive?
Sure. I mean, a dispute over what books young kids can read and what do they need their parents' permission to read can be a pretty dry story. So you do want to bring some language to it that will get people to listen. There's probably some other ways to do it. I mean, it could be a heated dispute. I know that that's another sort of semi-cliche at least, but you might be able to ratchet down the language just a little bit and still get across the point that this is an important issue, it's one that people are excited about, and that listeners will be interested in.
Do you think this is a problem beyond the media?
If you believe in sort of educated and informed discourse and lively conversation, yes, I think people like to think that they can have intelligent conversations. And if cliches are just so common, you don't sort of get that. You don't get that sort of intellectual debate. I don't want to sound all hoity-toity here and think that we all have to sound like we're part of the Algonquian Club or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have a good discussion, I think we can tone down on the cliches.
So what you're saying is, give peace a chance?
Give peace a chance. Not bad, Rick. I think what I'm saying is maybe lay down your arms.
Mark Memmott, Standards and Practices Editor for NPR. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome.